Pornography. Just the mere mention of the word causes people to pause, to think, to wonder. Pornography is a deep, dark place that pulls people in and puts them in chains. But folks, there is hope. There is hope for those of you who are listening that might be in that place. For our God can free you from that. My guest on this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio is author Len Frederick, and we're going to be talking about his book, Stand Firm. Stay tuned. Folks, thanks for joining me today for this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. My friend Len Frederick is my guest today. We're going to be talking about his book, Stand Firm. Len, by his own testimony, spent 28 years addicted to pornography, but the Lord Jesus set him free. Hallelujah. And now Len is a speaker, travels conferences, speaks about this, helping men and women to gain freedom from this addiction, and might I add, from the unclean and demonic spirits that keep people in these chains. Len, thanks for joining me today on Soaring Eagle Radio.
I'm really glad to be here, Mike.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk with you again, brother. We met a couple of months ago at a conference that Rob Pugh, the publisher-editor of the Wisconsin Christian News, hosted in Marshfield, and you were there, and we happened to meet and chatted a little bit and found out a little bit about your ministry and decided that we needed to have you on Soaring Eagle Radio to discuss your testimony and your book and so much more, because Len, the fact of the matter is there are thousands upon thousands, and I'm going to say this, it may startle some, there are thousands upon thousands of Christian people who profess faith in Christ, men and women who are in the bondage to pornography, and statistics bear that out, don't they, Len?
Yes, they do. I mean, when you talk about statistics, if you're going to talk about Christian homes itself, 47% of Christians' homes say it is a problem within their home. I mean, you're looking anywhere from, you know, upwards of 60 to 80% of men are experiencing struggles with porn, up as high as 40% of women, up as high as 65% of pastors. So in the Christian church, you know, and I always think when I'm speaking to a church and I look out there, I automatically assume 50% of the people that are looking back at me are having struggles with pornography. So it's very prolific. And if we go down to teenagers, college age, the statistics go higher. The use is much higher. 87% of college age men, 96% of high school age boys. And the girls are up there too. Their statistics escalate. So it's the younger you get, the more serious the problem is.
Wow, Len, what part of and these are staggering numbers, Lynn. I'm just going to give these back for our listeners. And if I misquote these, please correct me, Lynn. But you, I believe you said 65% of pastors, 60%.
That statistic actually came from last year's World Conference of the American Association of Christian Counselors. Wow. That was a statistic that was floating around among counselors themselves, Christian counselors. That's their experience nationwide, is that I suppose it is probably of 100% of pastors that come to see them, you know, yet 65% of pastors that have a struggle with pornography.
Wow. And then 60% of men, and we're talking, this is Christians, those who profess faith.
These are Christians. Yep. Yeah. And these statistics come from a statistics gathering place called Enough.org, and they have been gathering statistics on pornography and other sexual related issues for probably 35 years at least.
Wow. Now, 87% of college men, 96% of high school boys. The first thing I thought, Lynn, and I would like your opinion on this, how much can we attribute these numbers? And this is 96% of high school boys, folks. How significant has social media and the internet played in these statistics, Lynn?
Well, the internet is probably the biggest culprit. At one time, when I was struggling with pornography, the only place you could get, you know, pornography was at some kind of a porn shop or a gas station that might have had porn and toward the back end of the building or something. Now pornography is available on the internet at a push of a button, and 30% of all of the data on the internet is pornography. So it's a $99 billion industry that's just on internet pornography, is taking in at $3,000 per second, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So pornography is very readily available. There's a whole number of porn sites that would be, you know, European, but they are available on the internet, and they offer free pornography to teenagers to get them hooked.
Yes.
And what happens when this? I think this came from Dr. Don Hilton. He said, you know, you attribute pornography is very similar to cocaine. So the first time I see pornography, and it impacts my eyes, it has the same effect on my brain as taking my first hit of cocaine. So when that happens to an 8, 9, 10-year-old boy or girl, it's a hook that hooks them into it, and then they want to see more of it. And that is very, very intentional by the pornographers. Like I said, it's a $99 billion industry. They all know, they are very prolific marketers. They know how to do it. They know how to make money. And one of the ways they make money is to get a hook into people as early as they can, as young as they can.
Yes. Lynn, that's one of the reasons. I've told this story before, even from the pulpit. It's one of the reasons why my wife and I got rid of television. I noticed in the last few years a dramatic spike in the number of commercials from companies like, now I forget the name of it.
Well, I'm
Women's
glad
Lingerie.
That you,
Women's Lingerie.
Yeah.
Whatever that company is.
I know the one you mean, too.
Anyway.
Probably a good thing we can't remember the name we don't want to advertise for.
Well, I've been rid of television for a while, but I always like to watch the sports news, roundup of the day's scores and things like that. And it never failed that at the commercial break, they'd throw one of those, and they didn't give you a warning. It would just be boom, and there it was right in front of your eyes. And so finally, one day I told my wife, I said, okay, I'm done with this. I'm not watching this anymore, because this is going to continue to happen, and I'm not going to entertain that visual. Men are visual, aren't they, Lynn?
Well, thank you very much for what you're doing. I mean, I don't watch TV either for all the same reason that you are saying.
Yeah.
I mean, we give it up because of what we're seeing all the time.
Yes.
But what's happened in America is that those visuals have become normal.
Yes.
So when, I mean, people are watching those all the time and they might think, well, you and I, were something wrong with us. But when you find out that they're really not normal is when you have someone from another country. And I have met a third world evangelist from Uganda who comes to the United States. And he tells me that, you know, I walk into the airport and I'm speechless.
Yes.
The clothing.
Yes.
He would never see anything like that where he comes from. I mean, and like television or anything like that. He doesn't watch any of those things. He said, you know, American society, according to Dr. Patrick Carnes, who is a researcher in sexual addiction, says that we live in a culture that's an addictive culture, where our culture in America sees addiction as normal.
Wow.
And that is certainly in the area of sexual addiction. They see most of that as normal. And I think the reason, you know, for that is that we have had pornography has been in our culture now for, you know, probably 40 years, where it's been really prolific. And certainly the last 20 years is just a massive distribution. And what it's done it has made our society think that the behavioral characteristics that demonstrated in pornography are normal, where pornography in actuality demonstrates all 11 behavioral types of the clinical diagnosis of sexual addiction. So they're actually teaching people to be sexually addicted and think it's normal.
Yes. Yeah. As you were saying that, Lynn, I thought came to mind, and this has to do with television. When I was a child, we would watch programs like Dick Van Dyke, Lucille Ball. Something about those programs, when they would show their bedrooms, there were bunk beds. They had twin beds.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even show them sleeping in the same bed. Now look where we've gotten to today, and all kinds of things on our television.
Correct. Yeah, we've gotten way off track of what would be considered normal in a healthy relationship.
Yes.
Between a man and a woman.
Yes. Lynn, I think I read someplace, you can correct me if this is wrong, but the number one American export is in fact pornography around the world.
I would believe that.
Yeah.
I mean, we are up there and one of the largest producers, but mm-hmm. some of the other countries are right in there too. They're
yeah.
producing a lot of pornography as well, but America would probably be the largest. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you've already touched a little bit on the truth about pornography, how we're being really desensitized. It is being normalized among us.
Mm-hmm.
Commercials, television, radio, the sexual innuendos, even in children's cartoons now, Lynn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're seeing that, aren't we?
Yes, we are. They're animated movies. I mean, they're placing it in there. And I believe it's all intentional. It's still that same process of what the word that seems to fit for me is grooming.
Yes.
You know, we're being groomed, and when we talk about teenagers being groomed, you know, by pornography and by sex traffickers, you know, adults kind of go, oh, yeah, well, I can see where that's possible. But in reality, they're grooming us adults as well.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Now, Netflix, they're a culprit of this, folks, in case you didn't know this. Netflix has a porn channel. And it's not, as far as I know and what I've been able to find out, it is not segregated from the rest of its programming. In other words, anybody can access it. And I just saw on one of the social media platforms one day this week, Lynn, that one of these video platforms, I don't know if it was Netflix or who it was, but they have started a drag queen show, and it is about adult drag queens training younger, and when I say younger, I'm talking about adolescent boys and girls to be drag queens. Now, if you're not outraged by that, folks, then I don't know what would outrage you, but this kind of thing is really accelerating in our culture today. And again, Lynn, to your point, this is intentional. I agree with you that this is intentional.
Yes, it is. And I mean, it broadens out, you know, from there. I mean, we're talking about pornography and we're talking about those kinds of things and how it's broadening to, you know, the LGBT community and to, you know, the homosexual, transsexual and gender identity community, which drag queens is all a part of that. But what there's another really sinister side that's going on too, is that they have been actively soliciting, and you mentioned social media, they are watching for kids all the time that are exposing themselves out there, whether that's emotionally or they're showing pictures of themselves. They show a picture of themselves and they're immediately flagged and they go right after them and they try to build relationships with them and groom them and get into a relationship with them where they eventually, making a long story short, end up meeting that person. Mm. And if that meeting happens, more than likely, that child is lost. To the tune of about 100,000 teenagers, you know, under the age of 17, average age of 12, every single year in the United States, it disappears that way. And they end up in sex trafficking. But even to make the even worse in regard to social media is liveme.com, where now young teenagers can perform live and then they can get feedback from those same kind of people, from the drag queens, from pimps, pornographers. And right now the Department of Justice says 1 million predators online at any given time. And you got a young 12-year-old girl doing a dance on live.me, and she can get accolades, she can get compliments, she can get suggestions of what she can do better, and she can keep performing, and even to the point where now they can even make money by doing that.
Wow.
One teenager bragged about doing strip dances on her liveme.com, was made $10,000 last year. But what's going on with that is that now the drag queens, the pimps, the pornographers, they don't have to try to go hunt for kids. Kids are exposing themselves on social media to the point where they don't even have to try to go look for them.
Wow.
The kids are out there fishing, and now they just go to those sites. And that's dangerous. And when we talk to parents, they get a little bit scared about social media, and they, you know, it's cloudy, it's hard to understand, I don't know, what should I do? Well, we're just going to hope for the best, and we're praying that God will help them through it. That is a very poor stance to take.
It sure is.
I mean, we have to learn. Parents have to start engaging with their children, even if they don't understand it themselves. Help your child, you know, or ask them to help teach you. You know, teach me what you're doing. Show me what's going on with this. And then have a discussion about that particular app you have on your phone or on your media and see if it's worthwhile doing or not. Because kids, really, they've been given no stop signs to social media and the internet. And there aren't any on there. So we have to, as adults, teach them to navigate that whole world out there, and it's a jungle, but how to navigate that and keep themselves safe and not get themselves in a situation where something very tragic happens.
Yeah. What you've been describing, Lynn, is spiritual warfare for our very children, and the enemy is using technology to entrap and enslave. And as you're talking about that, I'm thinking, now, how crazy is this? This is the definition of insanity. You know, keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. Well, we teach our kids in the home. I hope that you parents out there that are listening are teaching your kids about the dangers of sex trafficking, of human trafficking, that they need to be careful about where they're at, be aware of their surroundings. You need to know where they're at all times. We teach our children about the dangers of human trafficking, and yet we allow them free access where they're becoming a target or a mark and easily identifiable by all of these predators to actually be one of these statistics. That's just insane, Lynn.
It is. It is. I mean, and when we talk about sex trafficking and human trafficking, it's a little bit different. When the term sex trafficking is used, you're always talking about minors. Mm-hmm. Sex trafficking is dealing with a 17-year-old or under. And human Good trafficking point. Then would include, you know, older than that. So what's scary is that sex trafficking is growing leaps and bounds in our country, and that means children.
Children.
And the average age for induction to pornography today in the United States is 12 years old.
Oh, man.
That's young. And when you have them at a major athletic event in our country, pimps are bringing, you know, young teenage girls to these big athletic events, and the average age of what they're bringing is 12 to 14 years old, and they cannot provide enough children for that major event. I believe at the last Super Bowl, I think there was 600 arrests made. I mean, it was a targeted event. That was intentional that they were able to arrest, you know, a number of men who were renting children for sex.
Oh,
one of them, I think, happened to be an owner of one of the teams.
Mm.
And it's. It doesn't bother me. I mean, I find myself getting really angry
mm-hmm.
about what, that's the depth of depravity that's happened in America today. I mean, when you and I were young, a man of 40, 50 years old would have immediately went to the aid of a 12, 13-year-old
yes.
girl and fought to the death to defend her.
Yes.
And now, here we are in 2019, and that same age man is lining up to rent that girl for sex.
Mm-hmm.
That's the depth of depravity that's happened in America, and it seems like we don't want to open our eyes and see that.
That's right.
You know, it's like, well, if I don't really think about it, it will go away. And that is my concern, is that especially the church. It's like, if I pretend this doesn't exist, then it's not there.
Yes.
If I don't talk about it, well, it'll go away. But while we've done that now for the last 30-some years, all it's done is gotten to the point where it's extremely, it's extremely bad.
Yeah.
There isn't any other word for it.
Yeah,
I mean, we've let, like you said, this is a spiritual war, and we have given, you know, Satan, you know, free reign.
Yes. Yeah. To the most vulnerable among us. We've
exactly.
done a yeoman's job, folks, on the abortion issue. And I'm of the opinion we are winning that fight. We are winning that fight. More millennials today are pro-life and continuing to say, listen, all life matters. The pre-born of all living things, they matter, and we need to protect them. We're winning that fight, but what we're not winning is this fight against the darkness of pornography. Folks, I'm talking with Lynn Frederick. He is the author of Stand Firm, From the Darkness of Pornography and Sexual Sin into the Light of God's Grace. You can go out to Len's website. It's lenfrederick.com. You can buy the book there. I think if you click on the book, it's $12. It takes you to Amazon. Is that right, Len?
That's right.
Yep. So you can get the book there, Stand Firm, From the Darkness of Pornography and Sexual Sin into the Light of God's Grace by Len Frederick. Len, you spent a lot of years trapped in the addiction, the bondage, the darkness of pornography. And I certainly don't want to glorify that, and I don't want to ask you to really get into any of the nitty-gritty, but you've got a testimony about this, and so I wonder if you would share that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I sure did. You know, I guess I didn't realize how, you know, what I was stuck in when I was a little boy. But, you know, I say, well, how does a person ever get wrapped up in that anyway? Well, I had been sexually abused at 10 years old by a neighbor man. That didn't feel good at all. I just didn't feel like I could tell anybody. You know, if I told someone, more than likely that they would just blame me. It was my fault. I was from the wrong place. I shouldn't have done that. How did I lead myself into such a thing? And that was my custom, you know, kind of in the environment that I was raised in. So I just didn't tell anyone. But I was also being, you know, physically abused by a brother at home. And I was that same year, being 10 years old, I was handed a stack of pornography by a group of older boys that didn't want me tagging along with them. You know, and that, you know, looking at the pornography for me at that young age, well, that felt better than the rape that I went through from a man. That didn't feel good at all. And I didn't like that at all. And I had a very shameful, you know, countenance about that. And this pornography looked, you know, was more inviting. It seemed more natural, you know, a man and a woman. And I wanted that kind of a thing. And I found myself gravitating toward that to feel good about myself. And it just kind of went on slowly, but it just kept developing and becoming more ingrained in my life as I grew up. And I found myself in a place where I just couldn't shake it. And even becoming a Christian, you know, asking Jesus to be my savior, you know, I couldn't confess that sin to anyone because I had so much fear that I was the only one struggling with pornography and so much shame about it, I would never tell anybody about it. So I kept it secret to myself. And that secret ends up being the very thing that Satan uses as a power in your life to anchor you into it. So I just was stuck there. Even, you know, I went to Bible college. I got a degree in theology, and right along with that, I got a, you know, side one and bachelor's degree in psychology. You know, I figured if I got enough scripture into me and I knew something about psychology, I should be able to fix myself, you know. And that didn't work either. You know, it's still a secret was there. And I really struggled with my secret. I mean, and that secret was a painful secret. I mean, there were times where I was pretty emotionally distraught, at a wit's end, you know, and I had some experiences of where I thought it would just be better off to die than live. So near suicidal, in this whole battle up until 38 years old, I mean, I had a family, I had a successful business, and I came home and the house was empty. Because what goes along with a sex addict is the same thing as any addict. The dysfunction isn't just in the what you're doing, whether it's, you know, looking at pornography or whether you're an alcoholic or a drug addict, or, you know, it's not just the substance or the activity you're doing that's addictive, but it affects the way you think. It affects your behavior. It affects how you think about other people and your interactions with them. And pornography really strips you of the ability to have a relationship with anyone. I mean, it hampers your ability to have relationships with men and women. It's just you can't get into an in-depth relationship because it's just the way it was, at least in my life. And at that point, in 38 years old, when the home was empty, I finally, you know, made the step to ask for help. And then that began the journey. You know, I didn't get that help from the church. I didn't get that help from the first Christian counselor I went to, you know, told me that I was too far gone to be helped. Wow. And that really, you know, and I was talking with my wife about that last night. And I think, you know, maybe that it was part of the way God dealt with me. You know, I came to a place where I thought I had brought myself to a place where I was absolutely hopeless and helpless. And the only thing left to me was a phone number for some person I didn't have any idea who they were, was a phone number in New York City. And I live in northern Wisconsin. And at that point in my life, I wasn't sure where New York City was. I knew it was a long ways away.
Yeah.
But that one phone call to Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous, at the time it was the Augustine Fellowship, which even made it even more. But I made that, and for the first time in my life, I heard a person on the other end of that telephone tell me that they were a member of Sex and Love Addicts, and what that I was going through was I wasn't alone, that there were many other people who struggled with pornography and sexual addiction, and that there was help for me.
Yes.
And I guess, you know, that began me on it started a journey for me, Mike, and that journey started with, you know, for the first time in my life, I believed that I was powerless. I could not conquer sin in my life on my own, and I had always tried. And I was at a place of powerlessness, and the first time in my life, even being a Christian for many years, it was the first time in my life that I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore my life to sanity. And that power, of course, for me was Jesus, you know, and God of the Bible, the Judeo-Christian faith, that had to be my higher power. And the next step for me that began that journey was the next step of the 12-step programs, where for the first time in my life, I turned my life and my will over to the care of Jesus and my Father God. That began the journey where God reached down to me and took my hand and started to lead me on a path and on a journey to what I call, and I finish it up in my book, of the promised land here on earth. And that's a place of living in God's promises, you know, apart from the satanic evil and domination that he had in my life and destroyed my life. It was God who reached down and raised me out of that pit and raised me to a new life. There was no magic wand, though, Mike. There was no, I always wanted that. Can't I just find somebody that just can say a prayer for me and it'll all be better, you know? But it was a process of being transformed by the renewal of my mind, and that takes time. But God has walked that walk with me. And after, you know, several years ago, I decided to go back and write a book about that journey.
Yes.
You know, that I would just, I had kept a journal of my recovery the first 16 years. I kept a journal of meeting with one of the finest sexual addiction counselors in the world right now, Dr. Mark Laser. I'm very fortunate that I was able to go and be with him as a counselor, and very fortunate that he is my friend today. And he is a part of leading me on that journey with God to a place away from sexual addiction, and a place where, boy, I tell you, I'm a I'm a happy man in comparison to anything that was a part of my life 30 years ago.
Amen, Lynn. What a powerful testimony. So you just told, Lynn, in my opinion, you just told the story of many men and women who are listening to you and I discuss this this topic of sexual addiction, pornography. How can, or who, maybe is a better way to ask the question, who can people contact for help? You tried to do it yourself. I'm sure others are out there trying to do it themselves. Somebody's listening, Lynn, and they need help. Who can they contact?
Well, there's a number of things. I mentioned Dr. Mark Laser. He is in the Midwest in Minneapolis, but he is also connected with counselors all across the United States.
Okay.
So, I mean, that would be a good place. It is just, faithfulandtrue.com. And you can go on that website. He has a lot of information there, a lot of help. So if you're struggling with pornography, you can kind of get an idea of what the Laser Clinic provides. And it's an awesome clinic. But I understand travel and I understand finances, and sometimes that's a long ways to go. But you can also gain from Mark Laser where you might find something closer to where you live. And another sources that you can do is you can, I guess my favorite of the self-help groups out there is Sex Addicts Anonymous. And you can go online and just Google Sex Addicts Anonymous, and you can also do this with Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous, and you can also do this with Sexaholics Anonymous. There are three anonymous groups out there. They're pretty much nationwide now. You may not find one in your hometown unless it's a decent-sized town, but you may find one within, 30-minute drive. I mean, there's just more and more self-help groups out there. You just go online, Google those, and you'll come up with just follow the stuff you're reading. You'll see where you can go to your state, click on your state. It'll bring up meetings that are going on in your state. Find the one that's closest to you. You click on that, and it will give you a contact number to actually call someone. And these are not professionals. These are all people that are just in recovery. They have walked your walk. They have been there. And they'll be the voice on the other side of the phone, like I first heard, to say, you are not alone. And you're welcome to come be with us, and we will walk with you on the journey of the 12 steps.
Amen. I'm talking with Lynn Frederick, folks. You can go to his website, Lynn, that's LynnFrederick.com, LynnFrederick.com. The book is Stand Firm, From the Darkness of Pornography and Sexual Sin into the Light of God's Grace. There is a place where you can order the book. Click on that on the right-hand side of Lynn's homepage that takes you to Amazon. You can get the book there. I highly encourage you to do that. If Lynn's been talking to you, and I know because of the statistics that we started this program with, Lynn, many of our listeners are struggling with the very thing that you described that the Lord Jesus delivered you from. Now, you gave Dr. Mark Laser's ministry, and again, folks, get your pencil ready or your pen or whatever. Here's the website, faithfulandtrue.com. Again, that's faithfulandtrue.com. Dr. Mark Laser is a pioneer in the field of sexual addiction and intervention. He's the founder and clinical director for sexual dependency at Faithful and True Clinic. That's in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. So if you're up there close or, listen, if you're reaching out and you need help, you can make the trip. I'd do it. So, Lynn, your book, you've got this broke down into four parts, and we've gotten through two parts of that, really maybe into the third part, where you're actually going to reach out and ask for help. And that's a big step, isn't it? Just saying to someone, I've got this problem. I cannot overcome it myself. I need help. Can you help? That's a big step, isn't it?
It is a huge step because of the sexual addiction is shame-based, and you feel a lot of shame around it and the things that you've done or imagined, and you pretty much believe in your heart and that you're the only one. Nobody else has done what I've done. Yeah. So I'm going to be able to talk about something that no one has ever done this. And I'll guarantee you that's not right. That is a lie of Satan.
Yes.
That's just not the case. Satan uses the same bag of tricks on everybody. And when you finally take that step to say, I need help, especially when you're talking with someone like that understands sexual addiction, it's just like the light comes on. You know, I have a man that we talk together quite frequently. I have several that I'm mentoring that are going to 12-step groups, but they're just kind of newer into this thing. So I'm their big cheerleader, and I mentor them. So they call me, and they talk, and he's just like, he just came out of this. He is 60-some years old, 62 years old. He's had it secret all of his life, never believed that anyone else had what he had. And now he said, I just can't believe that I can call you up and talk to you and you understand everything I'm going through. That's what it's like. So if you're struggling with that and you have fear that someone else doesn't understand, that's just a lie of the devil. I mean, you make one of those phone calls, make a contact with a sexual addiction group in where you live. And you will find an awful lot of freedom right away just in that, where you can sit down with a group of people and the discussion is going to center around the very thing that you're struggling with. And the biggest thing about that I discovered, it is I almost say this in embarrassment because I am deeply committed to the church. But unfortunately, when we talk about things like sexual sin, our fear goes to, well, if I did that in my Bible study group at church, you know, by the time I got to church next Sunday, everybody'd know.
Mm.
And that kind of thing in an anonymous group does not happen. It stays in that group. Yes. And for myself, it is the first time in my life where I learned that I could trust another human being. Yes. was in a sexual addiction recovery group. And because I could learn to trust that group of people and through time learn that, hey, this is right, this is a safe place to talk about these things, I could go to the next step and start to learn to trust God.
Amen. I'm glad you brought that up, Lynn, because I had jotted that down when you were giving your testimony. I wrote down help from the church, ? And then afterwards, no. There's no, listen, that's not right, Lynn.
Not right now. You know, my hope, Mike, is that there is enough people eventually that are in recovery like myself, and we begin to talk. And if we can get the church to talk,
yes,
and then besides just talking about it, that we can, you know, we can teach the church how to be honest about sin. We all sin.
Yeah.
You know, some of us sin sexually. Some of us sin in other ways. Sin is sin, and we all sin. There never comes a time when we don't need a Savior.
That's right.
And if we can all, you know, unite on that one platform that we are all sinners. And in that commonality, then we can begin to help each other and build each other and strengthen each other to be stronger in the Lord.
Yes.
But as long as we all got secrets, you know, Satan's kind of got us by the short hair.
Well, what's that saying? United we stand and divided we fall. When you can keep us segregated, we are weak.
That's right.
Yep.
You know, and that's strength comes when we can be united. And, you know, I wrote an article recently in it. You know, it's, we need to have the attitude, the church needs to have the attitude of the the one criminal on the cross. There was two criminals that died with Jesus. One was very self-centered and demanded that Jesus save him and save everybody else and himself. The other criminal didn't do that. He realized that he was guilty and that he was dying because of his crimes, and he was receiving the just punishment. That's all that man said, and he also said, just remember me, Jesus. And Jesus' promise was, today you'll be with me in paradise. We need not have the attitude of the criminal that's demanded salvation. You know, save me because you're supposed to. Rather, we have the attitude of the criminal. I'm on the cross, and I am that criminal, and I deserve to die because I committed the crime that deserves death. The grace is that Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yes.
But we get everybody in the church on that page. It might be fun singing worship songs.
Yay, amen. Amen. That's right, Glenn. Well, the future, you talk about this. The future is in the decisions that you make, and that is so appropriate, folks that are listening. Listen, you don't have to stay. Let me say this again. You do not have to stay in the bondage that you're currently in. You do not have to stay immersed, lost, despairing, feeling hopeless in this addiction. There is help. Lynn has described that. We've given you some resources. Make the right decision. That's an important thing, isn't it? Take that first step. Reach out. Get some help and get back on the road to righteousness and holy living. And then, folks, if you're listening and you belong to a church, talk to your pastor about a ministry to the sexually broken, to the sexual addicts. Don't you think that would benefit the church if you could have open conversation about this subject and the healing and restoration of people who have suffered through this? What do you think, Lynn?
Absolutely. There is actually something that's put out by the National Center on Sexual Exploitation to churches, and it's available on their website, but it's how to get your church to talk about the issue of pornography. Because, I mean, we know from statistics that it's there. I mean, it's in our church. Many people in our church are struggling with it, but we're silent. We don't want to talk about it, and we got to change that. And the first step, you know, if you're in leadership out there, the very first step to having that conversation is between the pastor and the elders. That's where it begins.
Yes.
And those guys have to talk and discuss the issue of pornography and sexual sin in an honest way in among themselves. And when they begin that process of being able to do that in the leadership, then the leadership can take the next step to draw their congregation into those kinds of discussions.
Amen.
I don't think it's something where we say, well, y'all got to do this, you know, or we appoint some other person to, well, we're going to, you know, down in the far corner of the church basement there's going to be this group. And I think it has to begin at the top. It has to begin with the leadership of the church. And when those guys and when those gals, you know, get involved in looking at themselves and that issue in their own life, then I think the next step of the church being able to follow that is much easier.
Yes. Amen. Now, Lynn, would you like to give listeners your email address to contact you directly? Is there a contact form on your website, or how do you want to do that?
Well, there is. I mean, if people want to contact me directly, I mean, it is at LT. It's like L as in lion. Actually, it's L as in Lynn. And then T as in Terry, which is my wife's name. And then following that is God's Promise, GODSPROMISE@gmail.com. And that's a way you can contact me. Some people write to me, but and that's okay too.
Yeah. So
go ahead.
LT, God's Promise at gmail.com.
Yes.
Yes. Now I also want to mention to our listeners, Lynn, that you have a you've developed topics for workshops, Bible-based workshops that you can present to any number of groups, church groups, organizations that would like to explore this subject that we've been talking about, and maybe even it would encourage, this might be a way, folks, for you to introduce this in your church. To have Lynn come and do a conference, a workshop, and I'm looking at some of the information here, Reconciling with God, Burning Bridges of Return, God's Promises for You, Fearless Self-Examination, Rebuilding Your Belief System, Setting Boundaries and Forcing Boundaries, How to Stand Firm in the Divine Power of God, and I'm sure there are others, but Lynn, they can contact you at ltgodspromise@gmail.com to maybe discuss having you come and speak to their church group.
Absolutely. And don't, one of the things I would say was don't be alarmed if they don't instantly respond to you, because as I have boundaries in regard to television, I also have boundaries in regard to internet. Mm. So I only do internet at the public library with an accountability partner alongside of me, and which is my wife. And so, several times a week I go in and I check those emails, and then I will get back to you.
Yes, there you have it. Yeah. Well, Lynn, this has been a wonderful conversation about a very difficult subject, and I appreciate you being candid, sharing what you went through, very, very sad and horrific circumstances, but God has redeemed you out of that and given you a very hopeful, very optimistic, and might I say, encouraging testimony, because you speak to a lot of men and women today, and I know that those listening, they're going to contact you, so get prepared for some emails, brother.
Well, I will look forward to that, and I just like to end that, the most important thing out of all of it is to come to believe that this divine power of the Creator God of the universe is standing ready, waiting for you to make that decision. He made a promise in Chronicles that his eyes search to and fro throughout the earth, so that he might show himself strong on behalf of those who are faithful to him. So when you look to him in faith and you call out to him, he's looking to come and help you. And that, in my life, is just manifest. That is the one who is responsible for totally transforming my life and giving me a new life and a new chance and a second chance. That's why my email, my farm, my business, everything I have is named God's Promise, because not one of God's promises have ever failed me.
Amen, brother. That is a wonderful outro. I can't top that other than to just pray. Father, I thank you for Lynn. I thank you for his testimony. I thank you for the power in his words, Lord, and our prayer, Lynn, and my prayer is that those listening, anyone that has listened to this, and they're struggling with sexual addiction, pornography, or any of the things that we've talked about, our prayer is, Lord, that you would deliver them from that. And we thank you for what you're going to do, and we ask it in the mighty and the powerful in the magnificent name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Lynn,
amen.
Thank you so much, brother. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Mike.
And your ministry. And folks, lynnfrederick.com. Get the book, Stand Firm, From Darkness of Pornography and Sexual Sin into the Light of God's Grace, LenFrederick.com. We'll talk to you next time. God bless you all. Song Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. God bless you today as you seek Him.